I have two Bibles tonight because there's one scripture I want to read out of the Passion Bible. But turn your Bibles quickly. Kathy, did you get my notes? I've just got a couple of scriptures I do want to see. Go to Romans 8:26. We'll just start right here. Prayer is such a privilege. And you know what, you guys, I told you a minute ago, but I'm so glad you're here tonight because I think you need to hear this. So do all of us. Very simple message. I'm not going to tell you anything that you haven't heard before, but I am going to bring reminders to some of the scriptures. Okay, go ahead and look at 8:26, Romans 8:26. Likewise, the Spirit, now that's a capital S, so it's not your spirit. Our spirit's spelled with a small s. The Holy Spirit is a capital S. Likewise, the Spirit also helps us in our weaknesses. No matter what weakness you have, He helps us in it. For we do not know what we should pray for as we ought. Somebody say amen. Because we don't know what we ought to pray about. But the Spirit Himself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. So He is an intercessor. The Bible says that Jesus is our intercessor. But I love this, that it says the Holy Spirit helps us in our weaknesses. The old King James says in our infirmities, which means weaknesses. Because sometimes we just don't know what we should pray for. But the Spirit will help us do it. Now, here's what I wanted to, what I told Sister Connie a while ago. See, here's the deal about prayer. Prayer focuses. Prayer can focus in on one person or one thing or one place. And prayer goes anywhere and everywhere. It goes into the prison. See, we sent prayers out to wherever Anthony is tonight. If he's on the street, we send in a truck, in the car. You've prayed for loved ones. I've been praying for my cousin in Texas. And my goodness, she went through the most horrendous heart surgery. And she came out. She's a little tiny petite thing. Just turned 80 years old. And I talked to her today, and she's just doing great. So people were sending prayers into Texas. We didn't get to go, but we sent prayers there. So you can send prayers anywhere, and you can target that one person, or you can target everybody. So we targeted one person tonight. We targeted Anthony. We targeted Caleb. We targeted Miss Connie. And then we targeted the whole group, all of our youth. And then we even sent some prayers in over to Menanche High and Granite and Bartlett Junior High in our schools. So we could just send them out everywhere. And then prayers are like, I guess they still do it, but remember the first mobile phone that came out? Do y'all remember that? Well, we were on the road. And so my brother Larry and Linda, he said, I want you to have a mobile phone on your bus because you'll need it out there. Well, this was as they first came out. And we're like, wow, that's cool. So he puts a bus on the phone. We had a Silver Eagle bus we traveled in. So it was right up there in front. And so when we stopped, we could take the phone out with us and we could just talk wherever we were. And so if we stopped for lunch, sometimes we'd just take that cell phone. And so we would just call home. And if we all wanted to talk to Mom or Sarah wanted to talk to her friend or I wanted to talk to somebody, or, you know, we just all talked. So we got our first bill after about 3 or 4 weeks. And I remember, now that was way back there. You're talking 30 years ago. It was like, it was $900 at that, over $900. We're like, We realized, well, what was happening? They told us, we called AT&T or whoever it was with and said, hey, there must be something wrong here. They go, oh, no. You're in North Carolina. And when you called California, that phone, the airwaves, it just roams. It just roams. It roams through every state. So it was just roaming and roaming and roaming, and we got charged for every little roam, every little mile it made. So this, that's what our prayers do. Our prayers can just roam all over the place. Sal, you were in Old Mexico last week, and I was praying for you while you were there with Grandma, Mama, whoever you were with, and my prayers just roamed right down there to Old Mexico. Isn't that neat? So it just roams, and it's free, and it's a privilege. And you could just pray for anyone, anywhere, anytime. Even when we couldn't go into the hospitals during COVID, our prayers went right to your bedside, Mike. Our prayers went right into the hospital. We can't go into the prisons or Teen Challenge or some of those places that lock you out for a while until visiting hours. But you can go any time you want. You can go into the schools when your children are at school or they're at work. You can just send that prayer up, and it'll just go right in and target them, hallelujah, wherever they are. Now, here's what I want to say, and I'm always so appreciative for this. Our prayers can be, and you know I share this with you a lot, our prayers can be so simple, just a one word or a two word, help me, Jesus. My brother was in a horrible car wreck in the fog in Fresno years ago. Really messed him up, but he was, this wreck in the fog was like a two-hour collision. I mean, they just kept just ramming into the next car in front of them, pile up. And so he could see in his rear view, and he was, this huge truck was right upon him. I mean, the fog was there, but he could tell that these lights were coming upon him, and he had already crashed into the car in front of him, or the truck in front of him, UPS in front of him. And he said he saw that, and all he yelled was, help me, Jesus. Three words, help me, Jesus. That was as powerful as any of the many words. We prayed many words tonight, but it doesn't matter whether we're praying a one or three or four word prayer. It just doesn't matter. Jesus usually had a two word prayer. He just said, come out. And today we don't feel like we're praying enough unless we pray for 5 or 10 minutes. And so, but on the other hand, when you're praying in agony and pain and hurt and desperation, and man, you're crying out, oh God, and you're weeping and crying, that's powerful. That's powerful too. So I'm not saying that one is more powerful than another. But Jesus did say some of these things don't come out except by prayer and fasting. And we're living in a day where that's true. And I'm telling you, we better have a corporate prayer and fasting. We got one coming up, and I'll tell you more about it Sunday. But we'd better get together now at church. I know we can pray and fast at home, but I believe he's calling us to a corporate fast for this quarter, and we will pray corporately together. But just don't get all religious in your prayer. And don't let it stop you from praying when you're at home. And you feel like, I don't have time to pray. No, you can't afford not to have time to pray. You know, I was running a little late tonight. I had time all morning to get the mind of God and get some scriptures here for you. And yet, I knew Parker was having a little ball game tonight at 5:30. But I wanted to go see some of it. So I had enough time to pick them up at school at noon. They got out early, had time to get to the ball game. But you know what? I don't know, Lynn, if I would have had that time unless I'd have gotten in my secret place at 6 o'clock this morning. But get that secret place. And then again, before I knew it, I was running late, and I knew I wanted to get to that ball game, but I didn't want to leave you in here. I mean, I wanted to get here before church started. But I'm not trying to sound religious or impress anybody. I don't have to do that. I'm just saying I ran into my secret place. I ran in there for how long? Probably less than a minute. And I just ran in there. I said, Lord, you know I'm running really fast. I met with you this morning. But I'm just asking you to bring the right people to church tonight. And you give me an anointing to speak the word that, Lord, it just won't fall down when it leaves my lips. It won't just fall down. Because all of us have to have that, you guys. We all have to have wisdom. We all have to have that anointing that when you run onto somebody at Walmart or Save Mart or the post office, you know, it could just be the simplest thing you say. I mean, just a simple thing. You're not preaching the gospel to them, but you're just saying something just, and it's powerful in it, and it doesn't fall on deaf ears. It falls on them, and it can literally change their life, hallelujah, by what you say. So a child can say, help me, Jesus, or an adult can pray. Now, let me tell you something about a person that's not used to praying. You know how their prayers go? It's like, you know how today people like to take selfies? Prayers can be selfies. When you're not used to praying, sometimes your prayers are all about you. That self-absorbed. It's, Lord, I'm going through this, and I need, and this I need, and my kids are this, and my kids are that. But how about just glorifying him? And when it's so amazing that the disciples went to Jesus and they'd walked with him for three years. Three, that's not a lot of years, but with Jesus it's a lot. And they said, Jesus, teach us how to pray. Because they watched what happened when the demoniac came toward him, the little boy that was demon possessed, and Jesus delivered him. And they said, Lord, help us. How do we pray? And when he prayed the Lord's Prayer, it was a model prayer. He just said, pray like this. And he started out by giving God the glory. Oh, my Father who's in heaven, hallowed. That means holy, 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 holy be your name. And I'm sure when Jesus did that, he didn't stop right there and run to the next sentence. So the first part was all about God, all about him. And then he starts asking. But I want to tell you, it doesn't matter what kind of prayer you pray, it all reaches to the throne. He said, come boldly into the throne of grace to find help in time of need. So no wonder Paul said, Lord, teach us how to do it. Because, man, listen, sometimes we even come into this prayer meeting, and sometimes prayer can be very awkward for you at home until you start learning how to get in his presence more and more. I was talking to a pastor's wife on the phone yesterday, and she said, how do you guys do your prayer meeting? You know why? Because they wanted to know. They wanted to know. You know what? I've asked pastors, how do you all do your prayer meeting? Because it's Satan fights every way he can to say, well, this may not be the right way, and that may be the wrong way, and you want to do it right. Well, what's the right way and wrong way? Is there a right way and wrong way to pray? Just talk to him. And so that's where I want to go tonight, is just keep it simple. Now, let's go to 2 Corinthians, and this is the part I wanted to read to you in the Message Bible. 2 Corinthians, Kathy, chapter 10, again, very familiar, talking about the weapons of our warfare, not carnal. But I want, you have to hear this. Kathy, do you have it in the New King James? Do you have that up? Put it on airplane mode. All right, let's read this. Oh, look at this, you guys. Let's read it together. Now I, Paul, say it with me. Now I, Paul, myself, am pleading with you by the meekness and gentleness of Christ, who in presence am lowly among you, but in being absent am bold toward you. But I beg you that when I'm present, I may not be bold, that confidence by which I intend to be bold against some who think of us as we walked according to the flesh. For though we walk in the flesh, we don't war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in, look at that word, in God, for pulling down strongholds, casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ, and being ready to punish all disobedience, whether your disobedience is fulfilled. Okay, I can just hear some of you saying, what? What was all that about? Well, listen to this. I love Paul's writings. He said, now, please listen. Kathy, you can put it back up so they can kind of compare, but I want you to hear, please hear me. If you can't read that, hear me too. Well, just listen to me. Now, please listen, for I need to address an issue, Paul says. For I'm making this personal appeal to you by the gentleness and self-forgetfulness of Christ. I am the one who is humble, and I'm timid when I am face to face with you. But I am bold and outspoken when I'm a safe distance away. He said, when I'm with you, I can be timid and sweet. But when I'm away, I can write you a letter and it'll be very, very bold. Now, we're reading it, that letter tonight. Now, I plead with you that when I come, don't force me to take a hard line with you, which I'm willing to do if I have to, by daring to confront those, listen to this, those who mistakenly believe that we are living by the standards of the world, not by the Spirit's wisdom and power. Although we live in the natural realm, we don't wage a military campaign employing human weapons, using manipulation to achieve our arms. Instead, our spiritual weapons are energized with the divine power to effectively dismantle the defenses behind the people's hide. All right, let me just go back here. Why he's upset with these people? Because here is the way Paul and the disciples lived in that day. They lived holy before God. They lived holy before him. And it says here, some of you have mistakenly believed that we are living by the standards of the world. But he said, we are not living by the standards of the world. You believe we're living by the standards of the world, not by the Spirit's wisdom and power. And I'm going to tell you, folks, we're going to get in big trouble these days if we live by the standards of the world. There's a standard that they have. There's a culture that they have. But you and I are different. Christians are not the same. We've been called out from among them. We're different. And Paul says, don't you even think that I'm a part, that we are a part of the world system. We're just not. But we live by the Spirit. And he says, we don't have to pull up natural weapons to fight against it. But he said, the prayers that we have are spiritual weapons. They're energized by divine power that we can dismantle the defenses that people hide behind. That's the stronghold. The stronghold was a place where the people hid in those days. They'd hide from the enemy coming in. And he said, but listen to what he says our weapons do. And what were the weapons? Prayer. Just simple prayer. Our simple prayer. Powerful prayer. Listen. Here's what I want you to hear. Don't forget this. You teenagers, young people, do not forget this word. By your prayer, by those simple prayers that even a child can pray, we can demolish every deceptive fantasy of the world that opposes God, and we can break through every arrogant attitude that is raised up in defiance of the true knowledge of God. Pure arrogance today in the world. Did you ever see such arrogance? And it says the prayers of God's people can totally demolish that arrogant attitude and that raise up a defiance against the knowledge of God. He says, we capture. Paul says, oh, we just capture, like prisoners of war, every thought, and insist that it bow to the obedience of the anointed one, since we are armed with such dynamic weaponry, we stand ready to punish any trace of rebellion as soon as you choose complete obedience. So every thought that comes into your mind, especially at night, every thought that comes into your mind that says you're not that, you're not this, and you'll never be that, or nobody cares about you at school, and nobody cares about you in at home, or this, that, or, you know, all those thoughts that bombard our minds. He said, you pull that just like a prisoner. You put it in the Holy Spirit's prison. Since you're armed with this weaponry, you stand ready to punish that rebellion. That rebellion that stands against what God says. So we'll stop there with that. But Paul is exhorting that prayer is much more powerful than we'll ever see. Even though it's invisible, what we are doing, it is so powerful. But I can tell you this. When Jesus said in Luke, all power is given unto me in heaven and earth. And I give you power to tread on serpents and scorpions. I've given you that power. You know what he was saying to his disciples? He said, I don't for one minute ever intend for my people to retreat one ounce. God had always intended that his son and daughters be every bit as powerful as Jesus. Say, are you serious? No, the Bible's serious. No. He told his disciples, you go out and heal the sick, and you go out. You say, why aren't we? Well, we can't be led by the standards of the world. Just pay attention to what he's saying to you and watch. I'm telling you, people are having visions, dreams, and we're seeing God move in our services. But there's so much more to come. We have not even scratched the surface of what he's doing. So I want you all to stand with me tonight. Find a place to pray, brothers. Pull the lights down some. And kids, we just invite you. You can sit in your seat or you can just put the offering baskets up here and bring your offering to the Lord tonight whenever you feel to give him an offering. Father, thank you for being here with us tonight. We love you so much. God, your word is so full. We could just go on and bring your scriptures, bring more scriptures and more scriptures and more scriptures. It's so powerful. Our prayers are so powerful. And Lord, I pray that you'll help us, Lord, to remind us tomorrow that, Lord, when we pray, we're talking to you. We're not just, it's just us in that room. That's why one friend said, I feel so conspicuous. I don't like hearing myself talk to myself, by myself. I said that imagine Jesus is in the room and you're talking to him. So, Lord, we honor you tonight and we love you and we will bring you our offerings. We bring you offerings of prayer. We bring you offerings of prayer. We bring you our offerings. Please give us some music, please. We bring you our offerings of prayer, of praise, of worship. You are good and you're mighty. I just heard David Binion say that he had a vision and he saw, listen to this, orphaned miracles. Did you hear that? David Binion said he saw in the spirit realm orphaned miracles. That means miracles that belong to somebody, but they don't have a companion. So they're orphaned. No, I don't want any of my miracles to be orphaned. You've got miracles. Call them down. Get them. They belong to us. Wonderful Jesus. Woo, we call down those orphaned miracles. They're ours. Amen. Glory to God. To that one that you just feel so absolutely overwhelmed in your spirit. Father, I pray you will give them the peace that you have, not the peace that the world has, because they don't have any. Their peace is all false. They find it in so many things, but we only find our peace in you. And it's a true peace, kids. His peace is not like any peace that you'll find out there. And he'll bring it to you.
And some of you are at marrying age, and you're going to have to be real careful when you're dating. And when you go out with somebody that could be your future husband or your future wife, and boy, if you get the wrong one, it's messy. So it's important that you get the right one. And you talk to God about your future and get that peace that passes understanding. Amen. Would you all stand with us tonight? Hallelujah. Glory to God. Bless the Lord. Thank you for being here tonight. And I'm telling you, welcome the power of the Holy Spirit into this house with us. Every single service we come to, he said there would be something that no eye has seen, no ears heard, no tongue could tell what he has laid up for us. That means me and you personally. Amen. So, Father, I thank you for this night. We offer it up to you. We offer up our monetary offerings to our high priest, Jesus. We offer up our words and our prayers to you, our high priest. And you carry them into the presence of God. We lift up these people that we have prayed for tonight, Lord, believing for a mighty miracle to see a testimony on them for Sunday morning. I thank you that the youth were here tonight. Whatever you spoke into their hearts, I thank you for that. Every prayer we prayed tonight from every individual person, you heard that. It went before your throne. So we give you praise for the privilege of prayer and for hearing us. Amen. May the Lord bless you, keep you, may be gracious to you and protect your family and protect your home, protect your finances, all that you have, keep you from all harm and danger. May he bless you coming in and going out. May the Deuteronomy 28 blessings rest upon you. May Psalms 23 rest upon you and Psalms 91 be your blessing. I bless you this night in the name of Jesus. Amen. God bless you.